Nam Phương và Nguyên Hoàng xin kính gửi lời chào đến quý thính giả hai miền Dallas và Houston. Và bây giờ chúng ta hãy đến với chương trình Kinh tế Tài chánh Xí nghiệp với giáo sư tiến sĩ Khương Hữu Lộc. Kính thưa quý vị, giáo sư tiến sĩ Khương Hữu Lộc có văn bằng tiến sĩ trên hai lĩnh vực quản trị và kế toán, là thành viên của Financial Executive International, được vinh danh trong Marcus Who's Who's in America. Nguyên là chủ tịch phòng thương mại Việt Nam ở Bắc Texas, hiện là giáo sư ngành thạc sĩ MBA của Keller Graduate School of Management với trên 25 năm kinh nghiệm là giám đốc hành chính cho những công ty với lợi tức trên 1 tỷ đô. Vâng, lời đầu tiên Nam Phương xin kính gửi lời chào đến với giáo sư Khương Hữu Lộc và gửi lời chào đến với cô Quỳnh Lan từ Houston ạ.
Quỳnh Lan xin được kính chào quý thính giả của Dallas và Houston trong chương trình Kinh tế Tài chánh Xí nghiệp cùng với giáo sư tiến sĩ Khương Hữu Lộc. Chào giáo sư Khương Hữu Lộc, Nam Phương và Nguyên Hoàng. Ngày hôm nay thì chúng ta có một cái chương trình rất là đặc biệt vì gần đến ngày bầu cử, cho nên chúng ta cần phải hiểu biết thêm về một vấn đề quan trọng. Thì hôm nay chúng tôi mời Thượng nghị sĩ Ron Wright, ông trở lại cùng với quý thính giả để trình bày về vấn đề liên quan đến đạo luật CARE cũng như về quan điểm của nghị sĩ Ron Wright về cuộc chiến thương mại giữa Hoa Kỳ và Trung Cộng. Quỳnh Lan xin được trở lại với Dallas.
Dạ vâng, xin kính chào quý vị. Bây giờ chúng tôi bắt đầu liền vào cuộc phỏng vấn tiếng Hoa Kỳ, tiếng Mỹ và sẽ có một phiên dịch rất là ngắn gọn. Welcome to our show, Congressman Ron Wright. Please introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Ron Wright, Congressman for the 6th District of Texas, and that includes Southeast Tarrant County and all of Ellis and Navarro counties. And I want to start by thanking you for having me on your program today. It is a great honor. I can't thank all of you enough. The Vietnamese American community in Texas is very strong, both in North Central Texas and the Houston area, and the Vietnamese Americans add immeasurably to not only the economy of Texas and the United States, but also culturally. And I want to start by thanking everybody who's listening for your contributions to our great country. So thank you for that.
Lovely. Thank you. You are talking to a captive 100,000 Vietnamese-American voter in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and some 200,000 plus Vietnamese-American voter in the Houston, Texas area.
Excellent.
So in the interest of time, Congressman, let's start the program with our first question, and I will give a brief, concise translation into Vietnamese. Congressman, could you please summarize your most important legislative achievement in the last 1.5 year, almost 2 year now?
I sit on two committees, the Education and Labor Committee and also the Foreign Affairs Committee. And I have had some really good success passing bills on the Foreign Affairs Committee. There's two in particular that I'm very proud of, and you know, we have a lot of challenges and threats around the world. Russia is a threat, Iran is a threat, North Korea, but the greatest threat we have by far, economically and in terms of our own freedom, is communist China. And they're by far, looking into the future, communist China remains the biggest threat the United States has in the world. I was able to pass out of the House, and the reason I'm proud of this is it's unusual for a freshman to actually not only pass legislation out of committee, but out of the House of Representatives. And working on a bipartisan basis, I was able to do that. And when you're in the minority, which we are, I'm a Republican, and for the entire year and a half I've been in Congress, almost 2 years, I've been in the minority. The only way to get anything passed is working with members of the majority, and I've been able to do that. I've been able to work with the other side and get some things done. One is the GAP Act, and that has to do with confronting the communist Chinese threat in developing countries around the world, particularly in Africa. And what that bill does is it would open up markets and level the playing field for American tech companies and American manufacturers. As you probably know, and a lot of your listeners know, the Chinese have been very aggressive when it comes to spreading their influence around the world, and in particular, developing nations around the world. And that's why they've been so strong in Africa. And there's two things they're doing. One is the Road and Bridge Beltway Act that they've started a few years ago. And what they do is they go into developing countries and they will design and build infrastructure that these developing countries desperately need. It's roads and bridges and ports and all kinds of things that we here in America kind of take for granted. And they finance it themselves. The problem is that country, the host country, if they don't make the payments to the Communist Chinese, then the Communist Chinese will take over that infrastructure. And that's why in Sri Lanka, for example, the Communist Chinese own the port. They actually own and operate the port in Sri Lanka, even though it's another country. They own it and they operate it because Sri Lanka could not make the payments. That's a dangerous thing, not only for the host country, but for the entire world when they have that kind of influence. At the same time, in these countries, and establishing internet and all of that, and when that's something that's very dangerous, because if you control the information coming into a country, then you can control that country. So my bill establishes a new program that will allow American tech companies to operate competitively with and against the Communist Chinese. So we're very proud of that. That's going to be something that will be very difficult for the Communist Chinese to confront. And it gives our allies over there another alternative to the Chinese. Along with that, I've passed a bill related to energy in Europe, and this is more to confront the Russian threat, because Russia has a lot of natural gas, and they, using pipelines primarily, pump their gas into Eastern Europe. And that became a very dangerous situation because they were sole sourcing their gas. They weaponized their energy. And we saw in the Ukraine how they would operate if you had an agreement with Russia on buying their gas. And that is, if you didn't do what they wanted you to do, they'd shut off your gas. And that's exactly what they did in the Ukraine. Well, obviously, that's a situation that the free democracies in the world cannot accept. So what my bill does is, just like the GAP Act, it establishes a level playing field, an alternative to the Chinese, or rather the Russians, when it comes to buying energy. They can now, it makes American companies, American energy companies, more capable of competing with Russia in Europe for precious energy supplies. At the same time, it obviously helps American companies and the American economy by establishing a new source for those countries, which is more revenue for American companies. So I'm very proud of those two things. Working with Representative Mark Vesey, who's a Democrat, we passed the Air Security Act, and that was an act that would, confront the Chinese, because they were selling to American airports and airlines, they were selling equipment that, and we're talking very high-priced equipment here, billions and billions of dollars, to establish airport infrastructure and loading and unloading equipment. And this basically says, no, you're not going to buy it from China. You're going to buy it on a competitive basis, including American companies. Because what we discovered was there were some very distinct national security issues related to the equipment that they wanted to sell and install in our airports. And when you think of all of the different challenges and issues that the American government deals with, there really is nothing more important than the safety and security of the United States and the safety and security of the American people. And this was a gap that we discovered that needed to be addressed. And so Representative Vesey and I came up with this legislation. It passed the House. We're waiting for action in the Senate. At the same time, we issued a letter along with Senator John Cornyn urging the FAA to prevent any of the $10 billion in airport infrastructure improvements that was in the Coronavirus Aid and Relief Act, the CARES Act is what we call it, from going to the Communist Chinese. So those are three that we worked very hard on and were able to actually pass into law out of the House. Now, again, we need Senate action, Senate confirmation, but I think that'll happen in the next Congress.
Beautiful. Thank you. In the interest of time, I will skip the Vietnamese translation. The majority of Vietnamese American are English speakers. So we have 15 minutes left for three more questions. So let's try to see if we can do that in a concise manner. Congressman,
okay,
nice question.
So
no, it's good. Those are good comprehensive summary of your legislative achievement. We appreciate that. So,
yeah.
Congressman, continue on with the topic. Do you believe the United States should maintain its course in the trade war with China and the multi-front approach to stop China from unfair practices of commercial trade? Candidate Biden announced that he will abolish the tariff in favor of forming a coalition against China. Do you think it's going to work, and what are your thoughts?
Well, with regard to candidate Biden, I disagree with him. I do not think his approach would work. That type of approach has not worked in the past. We made the, I believe, a very serious mistake, and it was both Democrat and Republican administrations going back to the 90s, and we seem to have adopted this notion that if we're nice to the Chinese, they'll be nice to us, and we have since, of course, discovered that that's not true. They are not our friend. Communists will do what communists do.
Right.
And that includes lying when they need to.
Right.
And we saw with the virus, the Wuhan virus, that they don't hesitate to lie at all. So no, I don't agree with that. I think President Trump is on the correct course. When countries like China misbehave, and when they, especially when they put other countries in the world at risk, they need to be held accountable.
Yes. Yes.
And
yeah.
If you don't hold them accountable, then they'll just continue to do what they've been doing.
That's
so
right.
I believe Trump's on the right course. I think America is on the right course, and we need to maintain that course.
All right. Next question, Congressman. Switching to the economy, do you believe the U.S. should continue opening the economy, and the measure? What are the measures it should take to minimize the impact of COVID Wuhan in view of the vaccine?
Well, first, you know, we did some really good things starting back in April and May with the relief packages. They did not go far enough. In particular, the PPE, the Payroll Protection Act, was very popular and very successful, but it didn't go far enough. And we must protect and advance small businesses in America, because that's the backbone of our economy. And I think if we can continue to do that, what happened, though, is deadlock occurred in the Congress between the two parties, and nothing more has happened. There's billions of dollars sitting there right now that can be used for additional PPE money for small business relief. And all we have to do is pass the bill, and that money will be released. But petty politics has gotten in the way, unfortunately. And I don't mean to be partisan, but I'm going to lay this at the feet of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, because we could have already done this. We should have already done it. And that money is just sitting there, not helping anybody. So we need to do more to help our small businesses. We need to do more in terms of individual stimulus packages that will keep families afloat. There's a lot yet that we can and should do that would be very easy to do that apparently will probably not happen now until after the election. But as soon as this election is over, no matter who wins, we need to get back to work and solve this problem.
Right, absolutely. And talking about this topic, what do you believe are the prospect and the current status of the stimulus of Phase 2 of the CARE Act that will be passed by year-end? And what are the components that are likely to be approved? The $1,200 check, the extended unemployment benefits, or the continued expansion of PPP? Do you think those three will be part of the package?
Yes, sir. I think what you'll see is all three. And here's the thing that's so frustrating, is there are people on both sides of the aisle, both Republican and Democrats, that want to do this. And I think there will be enough support when we come back in what's normally called a lame duck session after an election. And we'll have, I'm hopeful we'll have the votes to pass all three, because we need all three. But I think if we can do all three of those, you're going to see a lot more economic growth by the end of the year.
All right. Okay. And what about some legal protection for business to open up? Because that seemed to be part of the issue, that business are very gun-shy of getting sued if, you know, there's a mishap,
yes,
that, you know, somebody gets killed because of the PPE, and, you know, all that stuff. So would there be any legislation to limit the liability for small business for opening up?
Yes, sir, I believe so. And I think you're exactly correct in your assessment of how important that is. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, has made that a red line in the Senate, that there will not be any more relief if that's not part of it. And I agree with the senator. That is a necessary step. We have to have liability protections for individuals and businesses in order to continue on down the road with the recovery. If you don't have that liability protection, then what you'll see is a whole lot of lawsuits that only hurt the country and hurt small businesses.
Great. So now I would like to move to another topic on the international scale in the South Indochina Sea, which is a topic very dear to the heart of the Vietnamese-American voter. As you know, China has been more and more aggressive militarily or diplomatically or economically in the South Indochina Sea. And Taiwan is a threat. Vietnam is a threat. The whole corridor, South Pacific, is a threat because of China's expansion. Do you believe, have you introduced or plan to introduce, or rather the House of Representatives to introduce any legislation for protecting the South Indochina Seas from further China aggression and to assure Taiwan that militarily, because of the agreement between the two countries, that Taiwan will not be invaded by China and without U.S. intervention?
Yes. There are a number of initiatives that are being discussed with our State Department. And this goes back to what I said a moment ago, and that is that countries like Communist China must be held accountable for their actions. And the focus, once we can get back to work, and right now the House is not even in session, which is frustrating, but once we can get back to work, I think the focus is going to be on a bill by Mike Gallagher that is a South China Sea and East China Sea Sanctions Act that will go a long way towards holding the Communist Chinese accountable for we used to call it saber rattling, where you're constantly threatening your neighbors. And that's something that the democracies of Asia and really around the world simply cannot accept. We have got to stand up and tell the Chinese, no, you're not going to do this. We're not going to let you get away with it. But I think it's going to start with Mike Gallagher's bill, and that is, for your listeners, that's H.R. 3508, if they want to keep track of it online. Right. But it imposes sanctions and lets the Communist Chinese know that we're serious about what they're doing and they need to stop.
Right. And about Vietnam, as you know, Vietnam has grown closer and closer to the United States, especially after 2.5 years of trade war with the Chinese. More American and Chinese and international companies have moved away from China to other countries like India, Vietnam, and Thailand, and other countries. Although the majority of Vietnamese would want Vietnam to be free, independent, democracy, human rights, and all that, but at the same time, we want Vietnam to be strong economically. That's the only way they can free themselves from the influence of the Chinese and move closer to the United States, to the economy, and from an economic standpoint as well as from a human right and all that. So it's quite unsettling for Vietnam with the Chinese communist right at this door, constantly impacting them and threatening them, on the South China Sea. Do you believe the Trump administration is on the right course of align with Vietnam to get itself further and further away from China?
I absolutely agree they're on the right course. You know, a threat to any of the countries in that corridor is a threat to all of the countries in the corridor. And so it doesn't matter if it is Vietnam, Cambodia, Taiwan. We have to stand with them. The United States must stand with them against communist China. Nobody wants a war. Nobody wants a military action, least of all, you know, people in the Congress. But we have to, if we don't stand up, they'll just keep doing it and keep doing it until everybody folds. Liberty is too important. Freedom is too important. Economic freedom in particular is too important. So anytime we have a country like Vietnam that is prepared to stand up against the tyranny of communist China, the United States needs to stand with them. Again, we don't want a military war. Nobody wants that. But at the same time, we can't just stand by and let the communist Chinese have their way with other countries in the world.
Thank you, Congressman. So in closing part, are you optimistic, worried about your election and about the White House? Who is going to be in the White House next year? Are you optimistic or worried?
I am very, very optimistic. I believe that President Donald Trump will be reelected. I believe that I will be reelected. John Cornyn will be reelected. I'm certainly hopeful of that because the stakes are very high. And we have got to, this is so important. People have got to go vote. That is the one thing where an individual has tremendous power.
Absolutely.
And so I want to urge everybody, all of your listeners, whatever it takes, don't miss this opportunity to use your voice as free people and vote on Election Day.
That is great. Thank you, Congressman. So in closing thought, I'll pass it back to the radio station anchor women and men to close off this session. Thank you very much. It's a privilege and honor to have on your show, and best of luck, and we love to see you reelected.
And thank you.
We sit tight and wait.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. Dạ vâng ạ, Nam Phương và cô Quỳnh Lan và anh Nguyên Hoàng cảm ơn tất cả quý thính giả đã lắng nghe chương trình ngày hôm nay và xin được gặp lại quý thính giả chương trình này vào tuần sau.